You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. It's our Friday together, and here we are.
Bob, the central banks in both Canada and the U.S., the U.S. Fed, lowered interest rates by 0.25%. And again, we're hearing the White House didn't say anything about it, but they've been urging lower interest rates for the longest time. What kind of an impact has it had, and what kind of an impact will it have?
Here we go. The myth of the Fed doing Fed cuts and the Bank of Canada doing the administered rate cut is a myth that it results in good things. Not at all. If you put a chart on the Fed funds rate, or even, well, first of all, the central banks follow changes in T-bill rates, which are set by market forces. You can't have 12 people in the Federal Market Open Committee, whatever they call it, setting interest rates when you're looking at jillions and jillions of transactions around the world. So first of all, the central bank cannot set interest rates. Its game is to look like they're setting interest rates. Now, the next step on this, again, is to look at history. And it's very simple, Jim. In a recovery and a boom, short rates such as T-bills go up. So rising rates is a positive indicator. And then in every bust and depression and everything else, the T-bill rate goes down. So interest rates going down is a negative indicator. And, in the summer of 1929, the three-month bill yield was around 5%. And by the time you got to July 32, which was the worst of the worst, it was down to 0.8%. And also, the central bank's administered rate had come down. So interest short rates going up is good. Short rates going down is bad. But somehow, everybody's been brainwashed on this, and they're all thinking, I collected a couple of headlines on this one just recently, that the decline in rates is going to keep the party going. Not a hope in hell. So we'll see how this one works out.
Well, Bob, I don't personally cheer for lower interest rates because I'm a saver. and I like GICs.
Yeah.
And so when the rates were at their highest they'd been in 20 years, That's when I went, it's time to go out there and splurge on GICs.
Sure.
And then I just researched who pays the best rate in Canada.
Yeah.
So people could do their own research that way. I won't tell anybody where I went, but I'm very pleased with the return. That's what I can say.
Yeah. So anyways, falling short rates is a disaster. End of story.
Now, taking a look at some of the headlines that caught your eye, from Zero Hedge, Goldman, long gold conviction is at its strongest ever. Is gold the real deal now?
Oh, it has been wonderful, but it's kind of getting overdone with bullish headlines and bullish actions. So I think it could take a little rest here. It would be healthy to set a correction for gold itself, yeah. And silver is always interesting. The silver bugs are something else. Again, they look at the statistics of supply and demand, and silver on these numbers is always in short supply, so therefore it's going to go up. But they overlook that silver is also a financial metal along with gold. And when you're going in the good times, silver outperforms gold, so the gold-silver ratio goes down. And then in the bad times, the gold-silver ratio goes the other way. And silver tells the story. So we're watching silver very closely in here. And should it roll over, that would be saying, watch out in the financial market. So we're watching it. It's not there yet. We had called for the stock market, S&P and stuff like that. In the first quarter, our call was that good stuff through until mid-year. And then as we got into mid-year, it was could be good right through until September. And it has been. But it is due for an intermediate correction at least. And then also, the fall is the time when, if it's going to be a bad thing, it'll be discovered in the fall. So we don't know this yet. So it's fascinating. But silver is important to watch relative to gold because it tells a critical story.
Yes, silver used for solar panels and all the wiring and stuff. Well, there's gold and silver in every computer.
Oh, yeah.
But if you melted it all down, there probably wouldn't be much. But would there now with the price of gold being what it is?
Yeah, well, as I said, it's kind of overdone recently.
Now, Tim Cyclesman Wood, friend of the show, just did an interview with him. I said, if we have a major market correction, will gold maintain its price? And his opinion is it won't because it's a bubble of everything. He said every asset class will lose value. Is that true?
Yeah, it's an everything bubble, but I still go on the basis you take gold's real price, which is deflated by the CPI, and we also deflate gold by the CRB. And the record on each great financial bubble is that gold price goes down a little as the bubble conclude, and then that has been the case. And then the real price goes up, which is the case now. It's acting according to history. But the gold stocks, of course, they're going to be subject. If you get a severe hit in the big stock market, the golds will get sucked down. But overall, in the post-bubble environment, the real price of gold goes up for a long time, altered by the usual 3 to 4 year business cycle, and the gold shares net will outperform the S&P by quite a bit. The gold sector becomes very profitable in a post-bubble depression.
From Market Watch, Meta is paying a 24-year-old AI researcher $250 million, echoing the dot-com bubble.
Yeah.
Where they paid tremendous amounts of money to people who just made web pages.
Yeah, who figured who could do the latest hot item.
Yeah.
It's amazing. $250 million is huge money.
And so far, our friend of the show, Rick Ackerman, has pointed out AI hasn't made anybody any money yet.
But it needs all kinds of building space for it. And we'll see how all of this goes. But you've had great high-tech manias in the past. In the 1873 bubble, it was Western Union Telegraph. Oh, you couldn't get anything better. And then it peaked in September of 1873. And I remember the notes I've got here. It gave up 40% in 1 week. And that was the darling big high-tech stock. And then, of course, in 1929, the big high-tech stock was
RCA,
Radio Corporation of America. And
Radio, you can't go wrong with radio.
And it got up to whatever price it got to. I remember, maybe $129. But it was they were looking for $3 a share earnings on this and buying the stock high. And then it all crashed. I think it went down to $1.25 or something like that. And then it didn't get up to $3 a share earnings until 1956 with the Elvis Presley contract. So the street was buying it like crazy in 1929 on $3 a share. And there was no concept of Elvis Presley in 1929, but that's eventually what got Radio Corp's earnings back up to the $3 level.
Back in 1929, I think Rudy Valley would have been hot.
Yeah, Vagabond Lover, I think, was his song.
I couldn't name any songs by him, but I'm just thinking of the movies back then. So
yeah.
We'll take a look at some more headlines with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy from Zero Hedge Headline. You can't put this bull down. China roars back.
Yeah. Oh, that's a collector's item headline one. You can't put this bull down. We'll see.
Well, although, remember, they were imploding all of those high-rise buildings they built in those cities where nobody went to move?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now China is encouraging people again to invest in real estate as they rebuild these empty cities that they blew up.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, I saw one with a huge bridge they're working on. And just before it was completed, it collapsed. So their engineering wasn't so good.
Anyway, well, maybe it makes their buildings easier to tear down.
Good one, Jim.
From Zero Hedge, and maybe you can explain this headline. The rich hate cash, retail army loves tech.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that says it all. Rich hate cash. They're fully invested in the straight up. Yeah. And then even the general public is infatuated with tech stocks, and that's a dangerous sign.
Yes, it's like when Joe Average is telling you at a cocktail party, buy this stock or invest in this.
Yeah.
Because I remember a birthday party where everybody was telling me, yeah, you got to get your Bitcoin, and then it crashed by 10 grand.
Well, a big investor in New York said that when the shoeshine boys are giving you stock tips, it's time to get out.
Buy all the things. Bad data sparks big week for bonds, bullion, and Bitcoin. All the bees. The killer
you could
bees.
Eye on that. Yeah. Buy all the things. That is another tremendous headline.
So does that mean we should be... This is bad data sparks big week for bonds, bullion, and Bitcoin. Well, Bitcoin has fallen, but bullion seemed to do well. And what are bonds doing, Bob?
Junk bonds are unbelievable. Making new highs this week with barely correction in a year's time. Junk bond has been fantastic price action. In one measure, getting overbought, but not at the point where it'd say exit the game, but somewhere in the next couple of months, this has got to get overdone and reverse, because junk bonds in a recession are just a disaster, because so many of them go to default and disappear. And then you have another irony here, is that many hitherto investment-grade bonds inadvertently become junk. So the lower grade side of the bond market in a bust is awful. And this is where we say that, well, particularly for fixed income investors, but actually people who want to have a safe place to park, is the 3 to 4 year good grade corporate bonds. Because say 4 year, you're going to get redeemed at par. You're going to get a higher return from T-bills, which are going to go down to 0% anyway. So we kind of suggest that people take a position in the 3 to 4 year good grade corporates. Now, for Canadian investors, you could make those U.S. good grade corporates, and you'll do well as the U.S. dollar firms up relative to the Canadian.
Now, I saw this headline from the Wall Street Journal. Solar-powered EVs are almost here.
Pardon me for laughing. That's probably in a desert in the southern states with huge, intense sunshine, and we'll see. But no, the headlines for many years, decades now, about solar have been almost worshipful, that this is the end and the be-all and it's all wonderful. And no, I don't see it. You can only get so much energy out of the surface that is receiving it. And I think the electronic vehicles fad has been remarkable, and I think it's fading. So,
Dart Solar says its panels that it's an aftermarket product that you strap onto your electric car, can give you up to 20 miles a day on a sunny day. Now, for most people, their commute is what, 10 to 20 miles a day?
I think you're right on that, Jim. Yeah.
Because I always thought, why not use solar power to charge up your car, and why aren't electric cars just covered in solar panels to start with? Again, if you're just stranded somewhere and you don't have any power, well, if you sit there for a day or two, you're going to have enough power to get you to a recharging station.
Well, you know what my commute is?
Yes, I do.
Go from the bedroom into the living room and then further into my study.
Well, your commute is just as long as mine.
Yeah.
We're lucky that way, Bob, working from home. Now, governments and companies now are insisting that people come back to work 5 years after the COVID lockdowns and stay-at-home orders. But in that time, parking rates have gone up, insurance has gone up.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot more expensive for people to go back to work, but their salaries haven't gone up as much as those expenses.
Yeah, I heard there was a good coverage on the news radio station on that this morning.
Uh-huh.
And a spokesman for the saying, you know, it's just, that's what you were saying. It's going to add a whole lot of expense to their day, and more cars on the road with and commuters, and more commuter people on trains and buses and stuff like that. And if a person is doing an honest day's work at home, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, I found working at home, I'm much more efficient. I'm not tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I can take calls late into the night, early in the morning, before my shift would have started.
Yeah.
And so I'm more productive in that way. But as you said, are you a good worker? Because there are some people, for example, they'll get a stopwatch and put it underneath their mouse, so it looks like they're busy mousing away, and their boss will take a look at, oh yeah, this computer's got all kinds of activity. So, you know, tricks like that.
I hadn't heard about that.
Oh yeah, one. There's lazy people no matter what.
Yeah.
And also, the younger generation, I just hear it from people who are older, that they're late to work, they're early to leave, And while they're at work, they find every excuse they can not to do what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to say it's all young
always
people.
Always abuse the system, and you got to have a work set up so that you get the best out of your people.
But on the other hand, they have seen their parents laid off just because they're old. Happened to be in radio. Oh, you're over 50. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And they won't hire you back anywhere. I mean, I told them, whatever that job pays, I'll work for it. Oh, no, somebody with your experience wouldn't work for that money. No, my mortgage is paid off. I just need, you know, operating capital here. And they won't hire you back. But on the other hand, so younger people have learned corporations don't care about workers. If you work hard like I did, I won awards for it. They still boot you out the door. And in radio, it doesn't matter if your ratings are good. They'll still fire you.
Mm.
Yeah. So even if you're a productive worker and your peers think you're good at it, all the boss cares about is how can I get somebody to do something similar to that for the cheapest price?
Right.
So that's why you see people don't work hard. Why? There's no reward for being a good worker.
I'm a geologist. When I was working as a young guy, I was working in the bush in the summers, and the weather was good. You just kept going, and
you didn't question it.
I spent one summer on a lovely lake north of Yellowknife, and we got a lot of work done, but we would knock off on Sunday, and but it was a marvelous summer. That was from May, and we came in with a bush plane that had skis on it, but little wheels in the skis so it could take off from the runway at Yellowknife and then land on the skis on the ice that was still there in the lake in May. And then getting out, of course, that was the middle of August, and the lake was clear, and the plane came and got us and flew us back into Yellowknife. Loved it.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Good stuff, Jim, and we look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HouseStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HouseStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HouseStreet.com radio is a production of House Street Media Incorporated.